Well, hello, everybody. This is Mark, the Prepper Guy, and this is episode 40. This is a milestone for me to make it to 40, and it's kind of cool. Today, I wanted to talk about the upside of something that is worst-case scenario. An EMP, or something caused by a solar flare, or a bomb from a rogue nation, would kill our power grid and send us back to the 1800s. So, I was going to put a friendly spin on this and see if we can take a different approach at looking at the end of the world. So stick around.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
Let's pretend for a minute that we're on our way to work in the morning, driving down the road, and our car just stops working, and we're thinking, what the hell? This is a fairly new car. You look in your mirror as you're rolling off to the side of the road a little bit, and you notice the guy behind you is slowing down and stopping. So you're like, well, thank God, at least he was paying attention. So you just kind of stop there, half on the lane, half on the shoulder, because power steering kind of sucks when you don't have any power behind it. You grab your cell phone, and you notice it's not on. You think to yourself, damn kids of mine, they're always playing on this thing, and I told my daughter to charge it up when she's done at night. You think, well, you rummage around through the glove box for a second and around through the car and give it a pat down and realize you don't have your charger with you, so you can't plug it in and make a phone call. But you look in your mirror and you notice the guy behind you has got his phone out. So you think, well, I'll see if he'll give me a hand to push the car off the side of the road so it doesn't hold anyone else up. And then I'll call the dealership right down the road and see if they'll come and get this thing running again. So you walk over to his car and you kind of tap on the window, and he goes to roll down his window and then just decides to get out of the car. So you say, sorry, my car just quit. Can I use your phone? And elderly guy looks at you and goes, this damn thing ain't working. Kind of handing it to you. He's like, I hate these new smart dang things. So you grab it and you look at the screen and it's blank, and you think to yourself, well, you got to turn it on first, you know, but you don't want to be rude. So you hold down the power button for the obligatory 5 seconds, waiting for it to vibrate in your hand, and you notice it doesn't vibrate. So you're like, well, crap, I need to get this car off the road before people start coming along and have an accident. And then it kind of hits you, and you notice that there's people stopped behind him too, which isn't totally abnormal since you're stopped in the middle of the road, kind of, sort of, but no one's honking their horn. So you look to the other side, cross the medium, and you realize people's cars there aren't going either. You even notice a guy standing up on his cab of his truck holding his cell phone up in the air wondering why it's not working. Now at this point, if you're like me and always reading about disasters and trying to figure out how you would react in a situation, and we do that through reading books and watching movies and thinking, what would I do if I was this guy right now? How should she react? We've all yelled at the TV and said, don't go down in the basement. These are learning experiences we can draw upon without actually having to go through them, thank goodness. So you're probably thinking, it sounds kind of like an EMP. And you'd be right. Now, most people wouldn't know that, and that's why the guy would be standing on the cab of his new truck holding his phone as high in the air as he can to see if he can get service. Because most people have this normalcy bias, and they're going to think, well, you know, my car died. And they're so self-absorbed sometimes, they don't realize to look around like you were when you first walked up to the man, and instead of kind of gathering information for your situational awareness, you just ask him if you could use his phone. And you got caught up in the moment. So now it all starts dawning on you. This was probably an EMP, maybe from a solar flare, or maybe from some crazy rogue nation like Iran or Korea that just hate us for no other reason than because we moved into the neighborhood, I guess, 200 and some years ago, and they don't like us. That's all right. We don't like them either. But the problem, and to me, EMP, especially of the magnitude like a super EMP bomb, makes it the worst case scenario for most preppers that are putting together a plan why they prepare. And so let me kind of explain why that is just so bad. Because see, if a hacker brought down our infrastructure, we would probably, well, it would suck. But our military and our police and most first responders that have backup generators and their batteries are always charged because their daughters don't play with the cell phone at night and forget to charge it, they're pretty well ready to go. And the only thing that has happened is our power grid is down. But if you have solar and battery backup generators like most emergency responders and FEMA and definitely the military, they're still going to be able to patch things back together. They're going to be able to mobilize. If you have an accident, the EMP is still going to show up. Their ambulances are going to start. All their equipment is going to work. The only problem is they just basically didn't pay their electric bill, and so the meter's not spinning. But when you go to the next level of an EMP, whether it's a coronal mass ejection from the sun that just shoots out this massive flare and it hits us, it pretty much wipes everything out. Now, NASA has satellites out there and early warning, so we would have a day, maybe two's warning if we were watching NASA's website. But even if we weren't, the media eventually is going to get that out to us and we're going to hear something about it. And we're going to at least get a day's notice. If we're not even paying attention, it'll be rattling around in the back of our head because we heard someone talking about it at work or something. And so it will click for us and we'll go, oh, well, that's what that was. But if it's a rogue nation and they detonate an EMP bomb, which are designed, they're atomic bombs, but they're designed to put out more gamma rays. And they do that up in the Earth's atmosphere, a couple hundred miles up, you're not going to see it, you're not going to hear it, and you're not going to feel any effect of it other than your car dying. So when you're gathering information, these are just key little factors to sit there and go, well, I didn't hear nothing about it, and why would my car stop working if some hacker had, you know, brought down the system? So 1 and 1 equals 2, boom, it was an EMP bomb or a solar flare. Can't be a solar flare because we would have heard something about it. So therefore, we've just been high altitude nuked. That's what makes it such a worst case scenario. Because if you're prepping for economic collapse, power still works, first responders can still show up, it's tough and there's chaos, but most of our grid in a society to where we live today is very dependent on electricity. So even if it was kind of a national social collapse, which would be very damn hard to do because we're a big country. So you look at Katrina and what happened there in the Superdome, that was still localized, even though it was a tragedy. And for them, it was worst case scenario. But, you know, people were still flying around in their helicopters rescuing people. The big problem was they just threw them all in the Superdome and then didn't go and help them in time anyway. And so the chaos that ensued within the Superdome would be like a social collapse. It would be hard for that to leak out all over the country all at one time because, trust me, the authorities, as big a dicks as we may think they are, they do have plans to keep things running. And though you might not like your mechanic for what he's got to do to your car and what it cost you, it's designed to keep it running. So we don't like them, but we do. No one likes, you know, the police until you're in an emergency situation and they show up because some guy's standing there trying to stab you with a knife and you don't happen to have your gun. So it's a love-hate relationship, but it's designed to continue to work. So a social collapse to roll across the whole United States would be very tough. An economic collapse would be a little bit more feasible because, you know, it just drops off as soon as the banks close and there's a run and something bad happens. And no matter where you live, you can't get your money out, kind of like in Greece. And so it starts hurting more. But the services, the emergency responders, the government is still out there trying to keep things propped up and moving. And once you get to that level of a massive economic collapse, even though the players and the yahoos that might have created this mess through either inaction or stupidity or with an agenda, your military and police are still your neighbors and they're going to try to keep things going, keep the peace, keep it calm, trying to get food moving back and forth, distribution centers, because they know nobody's money's working. So it would take longer, and during that long period of time, maybe it would kick, someone could get it kickstarted again, even if they had to issue tokens or chits. Somehow, the carrying powers that be, the ones that aren't bought off political puppets, and I'm talking about military, police, law enforcement, and all them, they're your neighbors. They're good people. They don't want to see their town and their mom and grandmom dying without food. So their motivation is a lot better than the politicians that might have caused it in the big banks. We had Ebola kind of outbreak, and you can see they kind of got a lid on that, you know, even though they ran it fairly ineptly. Some of these things are just real hard to happen, and they can happen in a local area, maybe even in a fairly large regional area, like a state or two. But eventually, the world has not ended as we know it. So it's just a crappy period of time in your life. And these are reasons why you prepare, don't get me wrong. But if you're prepared to maybe leave your home for a while, and you got food and some skills and some knowledge, you can go to a hotel. If it's not an economic collapse, you can go visit family because your car still runs. There's many options open to you. It's just a very bad inconvenience. So when we prepare for end of days, end of the world, unless it's God and then there's just rapture and then he's running the show. But if it's just something that happens, then it has to be pretty bad to affect the whole nation instantaneously. And an EMP would do that. And most of our enemies know that, and that's why they're working on it so hard, because they know that's our Achilles heel. They know it. They know no matter what else they do, even if they drop a pile of bombs on us, first of all, we got missile and bomb defenses. I don't think they would hit us that hard. And so once again, it becomes a lot of localized areas. We unite as a country because we were hit, just like on 9/11, and we don't go into a social collapse. Once again, it still sucks, and we should be prepared for that 3 days or 3 weeks thing, and we might even have to leave our home and go camping. So an EMP is worst case scenario, whether it's caused by a coronal mass ejection or a rogue nation and an EMP bomb. Now they have super EMP bombs. So what we're going to do is kind of talk a little bit about this, because hopefully you're not, you know, one of them people running around thinking the sky is falling and spending all your hard-earned money on a pile of preps and gear that you don't even know how to use. You don't need to be that way. This is just a scenario that we're going to talk about, and we're going to try to make it less bad. So most of us, and me especially, we're not doomsday preppers. We're smart preppers. We got to come up with an opposite of doomsday prepper, which is just inevitability day prepping, and how we can look at the worst case scenario and get through it, even without a pile of preps and a bunch of gear and spending a whole lot of money on stuff that we're not going to need, maybe not going to use, because 90% of the things that'll happen in America are going to be localized, even on a big scale, and we will still have our power grid, which means we will still have our responders and people out there that are highly trained that aren't bought and paid for by a crazy government bunch of morons and ass clowns. So they're going to have your best interest out there. So let's take a break, and then we will start talking about how much fun an EMP would be. Be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
So what is Crazy Mark talking about having fun with an EMP? Well, I think I'm going to start by saying that once when the Dalai Lama was talking about stress and worry, said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm sure, if something is happening in your life that you're worrying about and it's eating at you, is it something you can change? If you can't, then don't worry about it. And if you can, then don't worry about it. Go change it. An EMP would be one of those things with the massive amount of downside to it for all of us. 9 in 10 people will die within the first year, whether that's through medical reasons because their pacemakers and their dialysis machines and all that stop working, because of the logistics for their medications. Diabetes and insulin is made in a few countries, and the whole logistics chain, I think, travels through 9 countries before it arrives at your pharmacist at a perfect temperature. And so a lot of them would die from that. In an EMP, could you change that? No. So then don't worry about it. People that can't get their drugs that are basically sociopaths in society, but we keep them kind of functioning, mainly probably so we can work them and tax them, is from drugs. These drugs that keep people kind of functional, those will cease to exist, so they will no longer be functional, and they will either become suicidal or crazy. And those people will be out killing people because now they're living in a fantasy world in their head, maybe. So there's that. Can you change it? No. Nothing you can do about it. And then a lot of people will just die from lead poisoning, the thieves and the robbers and the looters that will try to take instead of, you know, getting their own head prepared and around all of what could happen in life. But obviously, they're criminals because they've never really thought about life that way anyway. So they're either going to get the jump on, you know, people and get a bunch of stuff. Eventually, they won't get the jump on somebody and they'll end up dead. Can you do anything about that? No, you really can't. Even doctors and government and the judicial system can't change that. You can't fix stupid. And I would say that you can't fix crazy either. So as the Dalai Lama said, all of the things that would happen during an EMP and all of the destruction and death and loss of life and everything, the minute your car stops running, there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, on a personal note, you know, I've watched both my parents pass away. I was there with them, which was awesome because I could be there. But when you really sit there and analyze it when you're grieving, you realize that you can't stop it. You can't do anything to make that different. It's like trying to stop the wind. It's just what it is. And the difference is we don't, you know, worry so hard. We don't stress out about so much as trying to stop the wind. We just, it's the wind. What are you going to do about it? So that's a mindset thing. Because, I mean, really, if you were concerned about the wind and you really wanted to stop it, and you just ran around screaming and yelling, trying to push against the wind, you would end up crazy. Well, what are you going to do about an EMP the moment it happens? Not a damn thing. Because it's over. It's done. Everything is now changed in the blink of an eye. And you cannot change it. You can't stop it. You can't stop the crazies. You can't stop the killing, the looting, the death. You just can't. No one can. A lot of people might be able to help mitigate it if they're doctors or I don't know, psychologists. They maybe try to talk the crazy man off the ledge or from killing someone else, but it's just an attempt. So the only difference between stopping this and just going with the flow is attitude. You can try to stop the wind all day long, and then you can realize that no matter how big of a barrier you put up against the wind, it will just push your boat. So you can sit there and go, oh, you know what? I didn't stop the wind, but I did invent this kick-ass thing called a sailboat. Oh, wow. What made you think of that? I was just trying to stop that damn wind, and all of a sudden, my boat started moving. That's the only difference. It's mindset. And so once you get on board with the fact that in reality, when that moment happens, it's over for your decision-making paradigm. You cannot change the outcome anymore. Going forward, before it happened, you could have prepared for it. And after it, you can just learn to sail the boat. That's your choices. So that's all the negative part of what I meant by have fun with EMP, because I want to get that out of the way when I say this could be, you know, kind of cool. And when I tell people that, they're like, what do you mean? People are going to be dying. It's like in the movie Independence Day, president goes down in Area 51 and he's talking to the the crazy doctor with all the wild hair and his glasses on, and he goes, "It's been really exciting." And the president's like, "Exciting? You know, Americans are dying out there." Well, what the doctor was saying is the information we're gathering now is really exciting. Put all that death and destruction aside, damn it, because we're excited about what we can do to stop this, maybe. So it's that kind of thinking that you will have to look at it and go, taking all of what we just talked about, the death, destruction, nothing you can do about any of that crap, and try to find a positive in it. Now, all of a sudden, so when I talk about this could be fun, I don't want anyone going, "Mark is so weird because he wants everyone to die. And he talks about it as if, you know, my mom died of that. Damn it. What's he talking about?" Get it. Put all that in a box and stick it in your head and close it up and forget about it now. How many of us, I know I have watched a movie, whether it's a Western or a Mountain Man movie like Jeremiah Johnson or any of that, and sat there and went, "Man, I wish I lived back then. I would be like Doc Holliday. I'd be a gambling crazy fool and I'd learn to do this and that." Or we go, "Man, I wish I lived back then. I was born 200 years too late. I wished I lived there." Well, you know what? You just got your wish if an EMP happens. Because all of a sudden, the only difference between our world today and the world of 200 years ago is technology. People still ate food. People still drank water. People still needed a shelter and a fire to keep warm and to keep the predators away. So in an EMP, you pretty much just got your wish. Now, a lot of people, and I kind of have a theory about this, will sit there and kind of long for that type of existence. People have actually left their jobs. One writer in England decided to go live in Alaska for a year. People do it all the time because we are sick of maybe the world and the weight we've put on ourselves, because it's all self-inflicted. So most people sit there and go, "Oh, man, that would be so cool. You know, I wish I was a mountain man." Well, then when that moment happens, you're now a mountain man. It's that quick, that easy. And we could do it voluntarily without an EMP if we would just lighten the loads that we've packed in our packs as we travel through life. But we're not going to, so an EMP would pretty much force us to. And when you look at people that are in the prepper world that think how great it would be to live that way and to know all that stuff, it's not that they're morbid or wanting the end of the world and all that stuff we can't change. They're just saying, and they're almost crying out, saying, "I have loaded myself down with so much stuff in life, with jobs and bills and responsibilities and parenting, that I want a respite. I need to get away. Wouldn't it be great?" Disaster genre takes us to that world. And maybe we can get away from it for an hour or two if we're watching a movie, for a few days if we're reading a book. But either way, it's that fantasy to where, well, I wouldn't have to pay bills. All I'd have to do is stay alive. It would be, "Oh, man, that'd be really cool." And you would really, really be no different than the settlers and the pioneers that went out west and settled the territory. You have threats. You have needs. We just have more technology. You strip away that technology, and you and me do the same thing cavemen did. We stay warm at night. We eat food. We drink water. And then we go out and repeat. So that's survival. So I think once you get your basics down, and if you got some basic bushcraft skills, and you have to just flat out leave your house because of this EMP, and you just go, I mean, the crazies are coming, then all you're going to have is the same stuff the mountain man had, a small pack with some basic stuff, and then you're on your own, the same way they were. We tend to bog ourselves down by going, "I'm not going to survive because I don't have my Garmin. I don't have my trail. I don't have my, what do they call it, the little breadcrumbs and stuff to where I know where I'm going." Well, you're as lost as the settlers that came out west and didn't have a damn clue because they were drawing the maps. They weren't following the maps. So your chance of survival is just as good then. In fact, there's less wild predators out there now than there were back then because, you know, we've either hunted most of them to extinction or the government won't let us hunt them. Either way, they're there. Are they in greater numbers or less? I don't know. Everything's there, so you're on the same footing as a mountain man heading out. So you just need that basic skill. And then all of a sudden, we're living that world that we watch and read about and think about and fantasize about. So what's the downside in this other than attitude? Like I said, you can either fight the wind or let the wind push you along. So get along, get going. So I think it would be fun. It would be like an extended hiking trip. You're just going hiking. Where are you going? I have no clue. And I'm going to be gone until the world rebuilds. It's a dream come true, really. And then every day you go hunt, you go camp, you go hike, you acquire things. And really, every day you wake up, you don't have a mountain of bills to worry about. You don't have to go to work because your car's dead and, you know, everything has changed. So one of the best kind of example things that I kind of got was from the first season of Alone, and the one guy that won it, you know, he had everything he needed. He had his shelter, he had fire, he had food source, he had water. And the only thing he was really struggling with was flat out boredom, because it was raining so hard there, he just had to stay in his shelter. So it's not like he was pissed because it was raining, because his car was stuck in the mud and he was late to work and he was going to get fired. No, he just sat down. So how great is that for, you know, most people that are overworked and overstressed and overburdened? What do you got to do today? I think I'm going to get up and stir the fire, put on a pot of coffee. Yep, that's pretty much what I'm going to do until something pops in my head that I really want to do. I'm going to work on my shelter so it's better and warmer, because there was a breeze coming in underneath where I sleep and it sucked. So I'm going to fix that. And then I'm going to go scout some food and check my traps. And that's about it. Do you have anything else to do? No, not fighting the Indians. I'm not trying to build a wall around my community. I'm fine. I'm done. That's my schedule for today. And if I don't get it done today, I'll finish it tomorrow when I'm doing absolutely nothing again. Now, that's a lazy man's paradise, which kind of suits me just fine. But if you're motivated, then there's plenty to do. I mean, if you're not lazy, then you're going to get up and you're going to go hunting and you're going to do that and you're going to fix your shelter. Well, it's already fixed because I did that 3 weeks ago. And then I'm going to go over here and I'm going to set all my traps. I'm going to build new traps. And then I'm going to go over there and set up some snares. And I'm going to go meet those people down the creek and see if they're friendly or not. Either way, it's your world. It's your life. Just go do what you do. Have a good time. So it's mindset, as always, that will be the difference whether you survive an EMP or you die, the aftermath of that EMP. Whether you survive or not is totally up to Murphy's Law. And if you have a pacemaker and it shuts off, a lot of them don't, then you're fine. All of that is in that list of things that you cannot control, so why worry about it? But the minute it's all said and done and you're putting together your bug out plan and getting gone, then you're the survivor. So then you just got to keep your mindset up. When everybody around you is like, oh my God, this is terrible. I can't check my email. Oh, it's, ah. You just go, we're leaving. We're going that way. Where are you going? I don't have a plan. I really don't give a damn. We're just leaving the city because they're all crazy. And most of the people are following the freeway. So we're going the other direction. We're going to be alert. We're going to try not to die. Oh, what are we going to do about food? Well, we will do just like our great, 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 great ancestors did and figure that out. We're going to learn how to be quieter when we walk so we can find food. We're going to be listening. We're going to be attentive. These are all bushcraft skills that you can learn instantly just by watching videos, trying them out, finding what works for you, what you enjoy. A lot of bushcraft skills you might not enjoy. That's cool. Don't do it. But you'll need a pack and your stuff. That's it. Because once you survive a crisis, no matter what it is, then what you're left with is being alive and either a good attitude or a bad attitude. And that's the difference between living and dying. I think it would be totally kick-ass to be just like Jeremiah Johnson. I almost moved to Canada and just to go to Alaska and be a mountain man when I was younger, because it just seemed so cool. Now all of a sudden, because of this EMP thing, because of Iran or whoever, I get to do that. Wow, ain't that great? And I don't have to worry about jack shit because everything I worried about has just been erased. All right. So I hope most of you don't think I'm as crazy as a loon, but we can have fun in these situations because it's no different than any other situation. Yeah, there'll be people trying to kill you. You know what? When you go to Circle K, there's usually people trying to kill you. If somebody robs that Circle K and you get shot, you are dead. Nothing you can do about it. The minute you're in a survival situation and you're still alive, you live through it. Move on. Have fun. Every book I've read just sounds like, you know, other than all the drama they throw in there, it just sounds like a freaking blast. It's like Scout Jamboree forever. So there you have it. Enjoy it. Get your mindset around it. Think about it. Don't let people tell you you're stupid for thinking negative. Just think about it. Go, wow, what would be the worst thing that would happen if I woke up tomorrow and I didn't have one bill to pay or worry about? Everything. My car don't run. Don't even care about paying the insurance on it because, oh well, my bank shut down, the world shut down, the power shut down. I guess I'll go camping. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.